interview from Cuéntame USA with Moncho Camaño. Okay, for the guys in Spain. Today we're speaking with the two pillars, I guess, of this terrific punk band from Los Angeles, California. And they're called The Hellflowers. The Hellflowers. I know them. I've been listening to them for the last year and a half, 2 years. So we got Christina Hellflower on my left.
Hi.
Easy to see. And then we got Matt Skew.
Hello.
On the he plays the bass, and Christina plays rhythm guitar and vocalist. And I don't know if Matt, once in a while, he participates with some vocals, but not. I don't think he'll
a
little bit, a poquito, just a little bit,
yeah.
just enough. So we got these two guys that I really like. I like their songs. I'm a punk rocker. I don't look like it now, you know.
But punk is a mindset, not a fashion.
Right. During the 80s, you know, early 80s, I was going to CBGB and all those, the Palladium, and to see the Cramps, and to see Gangrene, awesome. And to see TSOL, to see all those bands. I saw all of them, Gangrene, the Dead Kennedys, all of them I saw. I had hair at that time. I don't have any more. So Christina won't do anything with me. All right. So they're both you guys. I thank you very much for accepting the interview. I believe you guys are in LA right now, in California.
Yeah, we live in Azusa, which is the San Gabriel Valley.
Mm-hmm.
We're east of Pasadena, so Pasadena is the closest place that people actually know where we live.
I have a question just to start. Didn't you guys perform yesterday at all? Like some private
party? We did.
Right. So you guys tired, probably.
No. Well, the thing is, we don't drink. Okay. So you have a lot more energy when you don't drink.
Well, I don't drink, but I don't have too much energy.
Really?
No, just kidding. I'm old.
It was a...
They're in good shape, party. These guys. I can tell just looking at their videos.
But yeah, we were home in bed by 10:30. It was phenomenal and rare to have a show end at that time and be able to drive an hour and a half back home and go to sleep. So
right, that's cool.
I was into it.
That's cool. So you're both originally from California?
Yes.
Okay. Christina, were you born in Napa, California? Or I got my info wrong?
Napa, California, yeah. Born and raised. Of the Valley Hospital.
Yeah, cool. And Mr. Matt, is Q, he was born in San Jose?
Yes, I was.
Wow, I can't believe it. I'm right.
Yep.
So you're both, besides music, I believe, Matt does say he loves art and animation, right? You do work with production studios?
Yes.
Motion pictures?
Yeah, currently working for Pizza Records, helping them with a bunch of titles that are coming out, and videos, and events, and all kinds of stuff, so pretty good.
Yeah, you guys are busy. Christina, she sings really well. She has a wonderful, she's a melodious, I guess, melodious and sweet voice. She sounds great. I've been listening to a bunch of songs because I remember I listened, like I said, maybe 2 years ago to the first EP. And then I lost track of them a little bit. Then
it took us a minute. During the pandemic, we didn't release really much. We released, I think, one single. It's called Riot Squad. It's a cover. But that was really since 2019. We released that in 2021, and there was no other new releases until just New Year's Day was our first new song. And then we released one on Valentine's Day. And then less than 2 weeks, we have another full length coming. So we'll have left.
We're going to talk
about more music out there.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the new album. Tell me something about your teenage years. We can start with Christina. I heard, I did some research. I know you play in a country band, honky tonk band.
That wasn't in my teenage years.
But that was later. I was going to ask you, how did you get into the music?
So in high school, I was a punk rocker. I was a straight up punk rocker. I went to Gilman Street and Berkeley Square and Trocadero and all the all ages places. And I grew up on punk. And then around the time I got out of high school and I got kind of into that rockabilly, psychobilly stuff.
Okay.
And country.
Yeah.
So I met a guy, he was my ex-husband, and he was like, Merle Haggard. And I'm like, Merle Haggard? And I just started listening to it and I fell in love with it all, like Buck Owens, George Jones, Loretta Lynn. So in my early 20s, I started doing karaoke and stuff.
Hmm.
And I met a friend that did what is that called? Open mics.
Okay.
I'm like, open mics? And she's like, yeah, I just go and sing. And I'm like, you go and sing? Like, are you crazy? And I'm like, I'm going to start playing guitar again because I had dabbled in it in like my teens, but I was such a fuck up. Like, honestly, I drank a lot and I did a lot of drugs and like, I just listened to punk rock and I was insane.
Right.
And I'm glad, like, you know, I made it through that and I was okay. So like in my early 20s, I picked up the guitar again and I started doing open mics. And soon enough, someone was like, I really like your thing. I want to give you a show. And I'm like, you want to give me a show? I don't have a band. And he's like, I'll back you up. And then my ex-boyfriend at the time was like, I'll back you up. And then I was like, at the time I was really into country. So I did a classic country thing.
Yeah. I saw a video of the Kid and the Branded Man.
Yep.
I see you, saw you playing guitar and singing. To tell you the truth, I think you put out an album, but I didn't listen to it, to tell you the truth or not. Listen to it, but there was an album that you guys put out, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Right? 2011. We did an EP and a full length. Oh, okay. And I did that project for like 5 years, but it was... I think it was a little too punk rock for country, but also it was kind of limiting for me because it's, you have to write within this very strict kind of like, I'm a country musician and I didn't have a lot of songs that just fit that genre.
Yeah.
So I was doing mostly covers. We did like hundreds of songs, but they were mostly covers. And I wanted to focus on original music and writing.
Right.
And not just one genre, you know? So.
Right. I imagine the artist not being quite as much energetic as with the punk band.
Yeah, I felt very limited on what I could do on stage and how I could present myself and not being my true authentic self because it was limiting. It was limiting on what I could write. It was limiting on how I could perform and move and feel comfortable in that scene, I guess.
Right.
And the people I just didn't click with, to be honest, like some of them were cool. But some, I don't know, there's some judgments and some different kind of, things that surround that kind of music that don't follow my, beliefs and my personality.
Yeah, probably. I understand what you're talking. I don't want
to. Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. So what about you, Matt? Was punk music your most, your favorite music genre when you were a teenager?
Yeah, I grew up kind of similar in a way. I grew up on punk rock and, you know, I discovered it like probably my junior high school years and as a skateboarder did that for years and it's almost went hand in hand in the '80s, you know, it just kind of like, you know, listening to Agent Orange, listening to GBH, I was a huge GBH fan and, and it just sort of skyrocketed. My first show was, you know, Social Distortion and Sea Hags.
I loved Social Distortion. Oh, that's only a long time ago.
Yeah, this was 87, 88.
Yeah.
And then Ramones and Cramps and, you know, and then I was getting into like Fishbone and just like kind of like a variety of stuff just to, you know, whatever I could get into, I would go to and check out. And so, you know, grew up around San Jose and Campbell, California and, you know, hung out with the punk scene there. And then, you know, just started playing music when I was about 18, like in a bands and stuff. And did that, had a band called the Smash Tones, had a band called the Blanks, which was like a punkabilly act. I was later ran into some of the guys from Blank 77 and they told me that that was their original name and they had to change it because they got sued and they didn't last much long enough to get sued and, you know, kind of bounced around, you know, did punk rock things, did post-punk things, pop punk things, and then, stopped for a while. And Christina, when I met Christina, she had asked me to join or just to start playing music with her. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to be in a band with my girlfriend. You know, that's a rough place to be sometimes. If you've ever been in a practice studio and everyone's yelling at each other.
Right.
not playing right, or
it's not the same as having your parents, but it's it's not the same.
But it's somebody you gotta go home with,
right?
To get home. Right. So it's
sometimes, you know, but probably you gotta watch your mouth also, you know, with other people.
Oh yeah,
you know, you I mean, careful.
Not with me.
Careful. No, I mean, like, I don't know.
Watch his mouth with me.
I gotta watch my mouth all the time.
No, I think I said it wrong. Maybe not watch your mouth regarding just the language, but other girls. I don't know. I don't know.
Watch what you say.
Watch what you say to them, or you know. I don't know. So your previous band before you formed the Hellflowers, Matt, was Kit and the Branded Man? Was that your last?
Oh no.
No, it wasn't. No,
I wasn't in that project.
Oh, you weren't in that project.
Yeah, we didn't. Our first thing was Hellflowers together.
Okay.
So I had a band called the Telltale Heartbreakers, which was like a post-punk act. Out of sound.
Right. Okay. So the band formed in late 2014, early 15. Is that when you guys decided to
2015 to start? Is started, yeah. I think.
I think that's what we basically, I think we were together.
We didn't do anything in 2014.
Yeah.
It was all 2015.
It was just sort of kind of like talking and forming at that point.
No, not even yet. Because that was the first, I moved here in 2014 and I took a year off. So I know for sure we didn't do anything in 2014.
Yeah.
We started the project in early 2015.
But you already have an idea, right? Of what kind of music you were going to play, right? No?
Mm-mm.
Nothing?
No idea.
No idea?
Honestly, what I wanted to do at the time was because I'm obsessed with the Strokes. I wanted to do something like that. But then when I started getting my songs together and working with Matt and our first two members, that isn't what ended up happening, because I don't really write. I mean, that isn't how I was writing, and that wasn't how it came together, because that wasn't really what we did. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you can have an idea in your head of what you want it to be. But then when we started doing it, it just kind of ended up being kind of alternative, or, you know, kind of like maybe early 70s or late 70s, early 80s kind of punk with alternative mixed in, and some 90s even, you know, like pop punk or something. But like, I always say something like along the lines of maybe X. You know, the
Bang X.
That's the closest thing we can think that we kind of sound like.
Yeah, because X, you know, throughout the years, definitely sort of like leaned into sort of roots music, sort of like mixing that in with like punk rock or heavier sound. And I think with her country background and, you know that band's initial like sound, I think that's where it went. And then it's kind of grown from there.
Well, the guitarist, Billy Zoom is the guitarist, right? He was the guitarist.
Yeah,
he played a lot of like rockabilly.
Yeah, rockabilly, some country.
Yeah, some country with punk all mixed. Yeah, I remember. Yeah. X, great band.
A lot of those Chuck Berry licks.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah. So I was going to ask you, regarding your lyrics, we can jump into that. Yes. Regarding your lyrics, because most of your songs are written by you, right, Christine? You write most of the songs.
I write 100% of the lyrics.
100.
90% of the melodies.
We can say that you're like a direct story teller, right? You go right clear into the point, like a punk, straightforward narrative, right? You
know? I would say the some of my biggest influences are like the Ramones and Johnny Cash, and I appreciate their straightforward to the point, just kind of like, and simplicity. I think if you love that stuff, then that's kind of why I think I ended up creating something more like that, because that's what I grew up on. My dad and I would sing old country together, so I think that's why I appreciated it, and I still do, and why I wanted to kind of create that for a while, because I do really appreciate that, the simplicity and the storytelling, and like that, the way about it just like resonates with me.
Right.
So I think that's why I write that way.
Yeah. I enjoy listening to your music and the lyrics, because like I said, you said, they're very easy to understand. I don't have to make up a story on my own. It's very clear. There are no obscure meanings, I guess. no metaphoric meanings. So I like those songs. You guys put out two EPs. That's the first thing that came out, two EPs. And I listened to both of them. That, like I said, the first EP that you guys put out, there were four songs in the first EP. Mm-hmm. There were a bunch of also covers that I listened to that were fantastic. Especially, there are two of them that I like, but there were the one that you did with the Elastica cover. Mm-hmm. The Elastica cover. Yeah. What's the band? Is from the 80s, I think. Elastica.
Early 90s.
That was one of the songs, but that was a cover that you did, Stutter, yeah. That wasn't in the EP, or was it? No, it wasn't the EP.
It wasn't the EP,
that one that I listened. And also another cover. They do good covers. I guess they choose the right ones. I don't know. They do a really good job. Riot Squad, that mm-hmm. song is from 2021. I'm just mentioning songs that I really like.
Yeah, and the reason that one turned out good is because I'm a huge Coxpart fan, so what I ended up doing was going through their whole catalog by myself with my guitar and seeing which song my voice sounded the best on, and that was the one.
Right.
So that's how we chose that one.
Yeah, because when I listened to that song from you guys, I was like, I don't know this song. I just don't remember where. And then I, you know, there was that band from, I think they were from the UK, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. And I went back to that album, Shock Troops, I think it was, where that song was. And I said, yeah, this is the song, the same song. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed that one. And plus some, you had a guest, Gordy mm-hmm. Carbone.
Yeah, Gordy was.
Do you know him for a long time? Or
yeah, I've known him. Yeah, I grew up with him in Campbell, and you know, he was in Lars Fredriksson and the Bastards and the Forgotten and a ton of other great bands. You know, from you know, San Jose and Campbell, like Slip or you know, just oh god, you know, Nowhere Men was one that's not widely known, but it's so great. It was one of the first kind of oi bands to come out of San Jose. Hmm. So pretty phenomenal. But I've known him for a long time. And, you know, we weren't at the same high school. We went to the same like summer school. Cause if you didn't do well in regular high school, they send you to summer school. Okay, so they had a very large, like a bunch of fuck ups, you know, went there. And he being one of them, got to know him there and a bunch of my other, you know, friends in that area that I ended up making music with later on in life.
Yeah, it's a cool song, a good cover. Yeah, there is a bunch of songs. You guys should listen to the word EP. Come On, Let's Dance, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. So take a look. There is a couple of songs, Running Through the Fog. I like that one a lot. What's the other one? I'm trying to remember. Johnny Jim. Yeah, that mm-hmm. one. So that's the first EP, I think 2016. That's the one I listened. Then like there was a little pause. I forgot about them. You know how it is. So many bands.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
You lose track, and then maybe you return. Oh, yeah. You find them and say, "Oh, I remember this." So the second EP they put out, it was 2017, called Vacation. Very uplifting song, but yes, I saw the video. It's a very cool video. All the video, the video editing is done by you, right? Matt, you do all that, right? All the videos.
Yeah, producing. If I'm not on camera, I'm shooting. So like, you know, I'll have somebody else run camera for a while but I'll shoot and cut every one.
Yeah. You know,
I just want to keep making like fun videos and great content, you know, for the band. I think it keeps people excited.
Yeah. They're very uplifting songs. Most of them. I mean, you don't have to listen to this music in a dark room. Let me tell you, there's no need for that. You gotta be another. So it's then they got an album. The first album they put out is called Por Vida. It's in Spanish. Why do you choose titles in Spanish?
I don't know. I think
that was your idea, wasn't it?
Yeah, like
yes.
Because I'm like,
is that what you titled that painting?
Yeah. Okay. So originally, that's actually true. So inside the cover. of the record, there's a painting I did. It's actually it's kind of our logo. It's a heart with two skeleton heads,
right,
one embracing the other. And a lot of people know us from that, but that was actually a painting I did many years ago. And I gave it to my friend Woody and his wife. And then, you know, I just always loved the painting. It was always a very striking image. So I'm like, oh, well, let's just, that was originally going to be the cover of the record. And then we changed it to the cat, the skeleton cat.
Which is another one of his paintings.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then, I just had him screaming Puerto Vida. And, you know, maybe if we re-release the record, I'll switch. I'll put the original, what was intended to be the original cover on. Try to scare up some more sales that way, I guess. So,
Christina, like, how easy is it for you to write a song? Let's say, like, the song Nightmare. Did it take you a long time to write that song, Nightmare, from that album? Don't take
I mean, usually not very long to write. It's just a matter of taking the time to do it for me, really. If I sit there, I mean, if I'm having a good creative day, you know, but I'm trying to remember how I came up with that one. But it's a while ago, so I don't remember.
Yeah. But when you write, you don't have a project in mind, right? When you say, I'm going to write this for that, you just write and you.
Sometimes something comes to me and then I write that down and then I come back to it later.
But you don't think this is going to be for the next LP or maybe an EP?
Now we're doing that. We're actually planning it out a little more. This next one is going to be no songs. Sometimes we revisit songs from the EPs and redo them and stuff. But this next record is going to be completely new, save for we may bring some old songs of our own from the past, but nothing we've done with the Hellflowers before. So we're trying to be a little more strategic about the next one that'll be out, which we don't know when that one will be out because we're just literally releasing.
Of course, they're coming. We're going to talk about that. Yeah, we're going to talk about that because it's going
to
be this month.
Some come out like that. And then some, I keep revisiting them and they take a while, you know?
But you don't do you finish the song or you have some phrases or verses written down. You don't say, Matt, what do you think about this? Or you don't really?
I have my opinions. But she doesn't always listen to them, but you know, it's her song. So I'm like, hey, maybe we should try this and this and.
I'm getting more open. I think earlier when he first did that, I would be more but I'm trying to not be like that, you know, and be more open to suggestions. Yeah.
Collaboration.
We're going to collaborate more on the new one. That's the plan. So that's why it goes slow though, because it's like, when do we have time to collaborate? So.
Well, we live together, so.
Right.
I know, but I feel like when you finally don't have to work, you don't want to do that.
True.
But I want to do it today. I want to go into the songs today. We have a lot going on with the record too, so.
I have a question regarding one of the songs that you put out. You put out two singles for this new album called Vámonos, another Spanish name, let's go, Vámonos. So you put out two songs. And the one, Music Is My Love. Is this the original title you have for it? Or it came from another song?
I think it's the original title.
It's the original title? Okay.
Yeah, it's always the one that's on the board. So yeah, I think that's from the beginning.
You are a very fervent record. You love vinyl, right, Christina? You like records a lot because in that video where you go you are in the record store checking out
albums and stuff.
Because
I mentioned listening to records and how music is my favorite thing or the most important thing.
Do you have a record collection with you guys, or you listen more streaming music or what?
It just depends, you know, both. It's not, we listen to records pretty regularly though.
Yeah.
You know, if we're home and we can throw them on, on the days off, you know, where we're not working.
Right. Because you are also a hairdresser, a master. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she's master hairdresser, but you got a lot of experience with.
Oh, I'm amazing.
Amazing. Right. That's what I heard. I did a lot of research. Sometimes I don't do that much research with bands. Sometimes I go further. I even read some reviews about her job. Imagine that. I'm looking like a detective.
Yeah, I mean, you know? I've been doing hair for 21 years, so I think, you know, I've done it all. It's mostly, but I always focus on, I've been doing men for so long, just men, you know.
Just men, yeah. But like when you were singing with the country, with the other, with country music, your hair was black, right? It wasn't, right. You didn't have the hair you have when you were playing.
No, country. No.
It didn't fit, let's say. Maybe couldn't.
Yeah, and also I had this theory, like, when I was younger, that, like, once you turn 25, you gotta, like, be an adult and stuff. So I thought I needed to, and then I, like, fucking threw that out the window. I was also, at the time, dating an older guy. He was, like, 15 years older, and, you know, he kind of influenced that, I think, a little bit, like, the more conservative look, you know?
I'm going all over the place.
Yeah, no worries.
Why not? Besides your music heroes, because you probably got some music heroes that you really love or you really enjoy when you were a teenager, and maybe you still like those. But are there any heroes for you besides music, and like another, let's say, not music, but it could be philosophers, could be politicians, could be anybody. Do you really have any?
Talking about me, I mean, like Eckhart Tolle. But I mean, like, also I love comedians. I'm a huge into comedy. So like Sarah Silverman.
Okay.
Chris Farley, Norm Macdonald. Like, I mean, I love comedians and comedy, and I think they're the ultimate, because I mean, they are literally on stage with a microphone,
right?
And to me, that is like everything, you know.
Right.
Oh, Dr. Wayne Dyer too.
That's cool.
So I'm always working on like mindfulness and like, you know, meditation and things like that I got into later in life.
You do yoga also?
I do, right. I've been doing yoga for probably like 12 years now. Yeah. Regularly, or maybe even longer. I fell in love with it at first practice. Like, I never stopped practicing. Once I did it once, I just was hooked.
What about?
It's very important. I mean, I have really bad anxiety and depression, so it really, really helps.
It helps. And probably helps you deal with that also. Just kidding.
Right? Oh, I don't know.
No need. It's easy to deal with that.
Yeah.
He's not too bad.
I'm not bad.
You're not bad, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm bad about myself. But
who's the introvert? Are you the introvert, Matt?
I'm more introverted you than are? Him. On the Myers-Briggs, I'm a introverted extrovert. I don't know if he's taken the test.
It's like this.
So I'm very introverted probably until I get to know someone, and then I'm very extroverted once I know you. Yeah. And once I open up and get comfortable, it takes a while for me to get comfortable.
Okay. Hmm. That sounds very interesting also. That's cool. So I was going to say also, I believe, I mean, you play also besides California and the West Coast, you also made it to Mexico, right? You play in Mexico. A couple times in Mexico. And you also play overseas in the UK, right? And I believe after this year, you're going to Europe during July. Are you going to in July? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, we're doing 2 weeks in the UK, and then we're ending at Rebellion this year.
Very excited. You're going to be in Brighton, I think.
London and all things.
Yeah. How different is your music live if you compare it to the recording and your records?
People say it's way more fun and a little more like dirty, I guess, not so perfect as it is on the record.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe a little faster, maybe a little wilder.
Inconsistent, I would say. but fun. I mean,
it's fun. If you don't want to listen to exactly the same music, you listen to the record over and over.
Exactly. If you want to see it live and see, you know, if a band plays it great, or if they fuck it up, or, you know, whatever. It's still at least you're having fun.
Yeah.
At least you're enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know. It's like the drummer will try to play it like it does on the album, and me and Alex will go, no, play it faster.
I'm talking about the drummer. I think they got they put a stamp on the new drummer, Richie Boom Boom Mendez. It's finally a Hellflowers member, no?
He is. Yeah. We were working with Stephen Gray for about 4 years, 5 years now. And, you know, his time is great. He's a full-time dad, you know, so it's hard for him to like kind of break off and do a lot of the stuff. He's also tours with other bands.
Right.
So, you know, our needs kind of exceed what he can achieve, you know, given his schedule. So we kind of switched it up. Steven still plays with us, you know, he'll probably take second tier, and Richie will first tier, but Richie's fantastic.
What we kind of realized was like in the last year and a half, Richie had done all the shows except for like two. And we're kind of like, wait a minute. Right. He's supposed to be the fill-in, but he's playing more than the guy who's supposed to be the main guy. So maybe it would make more sense to be the other way.
Of course.
You know,
and Richie travels really well. Like we tested him, like his first show with us was up in the Pacific Northwest. We'd never played with him up there, and we took him up with us, and you know, he's just easy, and he's such a great guy, and he's really funny, and a very, very relaxing personality when you're around him. So, you know, going to the UK with him, you know, just easy again, you know, it's great. You know, we have a different drummer in Mexico. Like when we go to Mexico, we have Gabby Valarubia, who is another guy I grew up with in the Bay Area. He now lives in Sayulita, Mexico. So he did a Sayulita show with us, and he did Mexico City with us. He's a phenomenal drummer.
It's just easier. I mean, he's really great. We love him. And it's like, if we don't have to fly out an extra person, like, it's nice. You save money.
So yeah, of course. But you have some before your lineup changes. What was the, I guess some of them, is it that they want like an immediate result or something? Like they want success or something? Like a very
looking never for. Happened
never happened like that. They want financial benefits right away or something like that. No.
What ends up happening usually is, I would say their life gets in the way of the level we want to play or tour with this band. Like it just becomes a point where they're like, wow, you guys are really ramping things up. This is too much. I got a lot going on in my life. I have to step down. I feel like mostly that's what's happened to us.
Yeah. But they're all good players.
With somebody who said like, I want to be signed in 6 months or I'm going to change the band. Well, maybe it's not the band that needs change. I was out.
Yeah, I understand. Who would you say is the most risk taker of you two?
Risk taker?
Yeah.
I'll say you.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a tough one because sometimes like she's extremely outgoing like on stage and then, you know, and then sometimes we just like to be at home. But I don't know. She's, you know,
I would say I'm not a risk taker. If you're talking about like jumping out of a plane and stuff like that, I don't want to.
That would be me. I've done that. So
if you're talking about that kind of stuff.
No, I was talking more like taking decisions, like, you know, like if you want to do something and just like, oh man, I don't know if we should do this. And you're like pushing. No, we got to do it. Whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. You know? I think we're both pretty equal on that because we have kind of a common goal with, you know, what we want to do musically and what we want to do like touring wise. And, you know, if we can afford to do certain things, we'll do it. But yeah, there's opportunities that come up. I'm just like, you know, we have to go to, you know, the UK to go to play Rebellion this year. You know, we'll have to, you know, there's other places like hopefully next year we'll go to Japan and hopefully next year we'll, you know, do some other stuff. We'll do punk rock bowling next year. You know, we attend, you know, when we play other venues around that time. But
Yeah. Well, I'm waiting for the new album to come out. It's coming soon. It's March 15th.
Yeah.
It's called Vámonos. Vámonos. So we're going. Mm-hmm. We're going to get the album. You know, it's coming this, it was coming in the 15th, which is, I believe, Friday. And, they're going to be having a release party at Licorice Pizza Records. Is that an independent label?
So yeah, it was originally Licorice Pizza was a chain of record stores.
Okay.
In Southern California, and it was very, very well known. And then it was shut down. It was turned into a pretty terrible movie that had nothing to do with Licorice Pizza.
Okay.
And then they actually had opened a sort of another brick and mortar store. The new owner took a name and then reopened it, actually expanded it into a record label.
Okay.
So there is a record store component. There is a record label component, and there's actually like a movie. There's like a music studio. So yeah.
It looks, I saw the building from the outside. It looks really cool.
Yeah, it's super cool.
The tastiest music in town, I think, is a sign.
So they say.
Yeah.
Like in the Music's My Love video, it's in there too.
Right. And I seen they got some stuff on the window, merch from the Hellflowers.
Yeah, they just like our road cases we actually just put I just got the album. We went and got all the vinyl pressed and picked it up. And I took one of them, to the store and it's up in the window now with our banner, our first banner that we ever used. And we're going to put our guitars in the window, but they've been having like problems with smash and grab, like people back in the window. And I'm like, yeah, that guitar is worth way too much money. Yeah. Mine would. So I wasn't going to risk it. Yeah. So,
are you guys playing any music? A setup? Are you going to play songs over there? Acoustic?
Yeah, we're going to do about a 45-minute set in store, and then we're going to have a DJ.
Okay.
Reese George is going to DJ for us, and it's like a 2-hour hangout. Okay.
Right.
People are going to show up, we're going to play, and then people will probably hang out until they kick us out of the store and, break down and go home. Right. It's St. Patty's weekend, so it's a weekend that I normally like to stay home. Yeah. So.
Would you say that you guys accomplished everything you wanted in this album, or did you have some leftover tracks that you didn't put in there?
I think we did everything that we wanted to do on it. I think there's a, because a lot of some of these songs were like sort of like recorded through different times. There's like, we actually put some songs from the singles, like from like EP on there, revamped them. We had guest players come on. And that's kind of like the big thing with this record. We had a lot of guest players. Now DJ Bonebreak from X, jumped on a song. Nicole Lauren from the Darts, she played us on a couple songs, and she's played on pretty much every record I've ever put out. So, it's if I ever need really cool keys, I've got like four people I can call, but Nicole is always the first one. So,
yeah, that's one of the singles, Vámonos. It's like a more like a Negras, a departure from the other songs, it's like instrumental. It's all instrumental. Yeah. I remind me of like maybe a movie from Quentin Tarantino or one of those. I don't know, like a soundtrack movie or something, like a film soundtrack.
Yeah, it sounds cool. We just wanted a song like a walk-on song,
Yeah, I love
that. Fun kind of.
Kind of hit him hard and right out of the gate. So
yeah, it's like
Jason Lee is a very famous, really, really well-known surf guitar player, young guy. Fantastic player, and I actually worked on a music video for him, one of his projects, and then she wrote the surf song, and I'm like, I think we really need to pull in like a heavy hitter on this one, and he's pretty much the only guy I know that can really do it. So
it's a great song.
Cool, thanks.
I enjoyed it. Do you have a time limit on your music, on your minutes you're gonna play a song?
No, but I don't like I don't like just go on and on and on and keep repeating the same shit and making it too long. I think that there's no point to that.
Yeah,
I didn't quit it.
I don't like really long.
Straight to the point. This is what I have. You listen to it, and we jump to the next song.
Yep.
Are you very talkative between songs? Do you explain what the song? There's nothing to explain about the songs.
It depends. Like, I think I was, and Matt's like, no, let's talk less in between. He doesn't like it.
I like to jump from song to song and keep the energy up. But sometimes it doesn't happen that way. Sometimes you get a tune. you know, sometimes you gotta bullshit for a while. So
did you ever get heckled at shows?
Yes, once in the UK. And she didn't hear it.
What'd they say?
We didn't get heckled, we got booed. One guy booed us. Like, and it was, we were in Stockport in the UK. And the show was like kind of a low turnout. It was like an older crowd. Like the guys that played in the band for us, who were all, they were all fantastic. But they were all older guys. They were all around in the 77 era, you know? So they were, you know, the crowd, they're people who come out to see them are like older. And, so we play and we're like very energetic and, you know, our songs maybe don't really translate if they're expecting something similar to what these other people were doing. Right. So one guy booed and I heard it. And I think my guitar player, Alex, heard it. And we were just fucking bummed. Yeah. And I Christine was like, I didn't hear anybody boo.
No, I didn't hear it.
You are to it's even better that you didn't even notice anything.
But it happens and whatever. No serious heckling, but you know, I'm a good shit talker back. Yeah. And so is Alex. Alex is phenomenal. You know, he'll say something, you know, right back at you. So if somebody says something, so you know, it's a good, it'll turn into a laugh or an argument or something. So yeah.
Well, I never saw them live play, but I don't feel like people are very aggressive listening to the Hellflowers, you know?
No.
I don't think so.
You know, either you like it or you don't. You know, I don't think anybody's going to say, you know, I've had people like, you know, that I didn't think would like us. Like we played a show last night for, it was a friend of ours. It was a birthday party. The crowd was some of them were kind of older and we're playing after a blues band, a phenomenal blues band. Wow. But again, us against a blues band is kind of a weird pairing and it worked out great. Like, you know, people were into it and people were talking to us all night and you know, just wanting to go to shows and buy merch. So that was cool. But I didn't think these people would really dig us, but they did.
Yeah. You know, I saw a lot of punk bands in the 80s, especially, all 80s. And, you know, some shows, some people, they act really stupid and sometimes. But, you know, I seen so many of them. I see fights. I seen everything. I got hit a couple of times, but, you know, it's part of being there. But I never, you know. I seen people that they go to see a band and then the opening act is totally different and they get pissed off. You know, they just want to get them out of here. I want to hear this band. I don't want to hear these fucking ass, you know, but that's how it is. It's just, no matter where it is.
I remember hearing people say that when we went, was it Social Distortion and they didn't like the opening?
Yeah, that old thing. Yeah.
I can't even remember who they were, but
it didn't seem fit.
It was like young kids, huh? They were just getting a different vibe.
Yeah.
Everybody just wanted to see Social Distortion, and they're like, "What is this?
Yeah, what the hell are these people? Get them out of here!" I heard that a lot of times, but there is no need. You gotta listen to the Hellflowers. Do me a favor, tomorrow, maybe today, still early. Go. Go into Google any search engine and type the Hellflowers because there is only one band that I know of with this name, the Hellflowers, great name. So you want to find their music. Like I said, their music I like because, you know, I grew up with this, so they do a great job. And also, watch those videos. They're very, very, very nice videos that Matt does on the video editing. He's good at it. And Christina looks great playing guitar. She looks great. Yeah.
You look pretty. I'm proud of you being pretty. So
She looks great. She looks great.
For a while, you know, until I hit a wall.
She has a very special voice. I like it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. They're going to be playing, touring in April. They're going to do some shows, mostly West Coast.
We also have a show in Long Beach on April 6th, and we just booked a show on April 16th in San Fernando. We'll be in different kind of areas. We're playing a lot of like small towns like surrounding LA. It looks like we've been asked to do a lot of that lately, and we're like, sure.
Hmm.
with some fun stuff with different bands we haven't played with before, you know, just getting That's out cool. there.
So how do you get, how long does it take for you to set up? Not that long, right?
15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? 15 minutes.
Maybe less if we're...
Depends on who's playing drums, to be honest. You know, we have drummers, we had drummers before that were super slow and it was like, you know, oh God.
Drums usually take the longest.
Of course.
So many parts.
Of course.
But I'm probably ready in like 10 minutes, you know, like once I get my guitar and pedals and, you know. Yeah.
How do you get around? You drive a van or just a regular vehicle? You got to know.
We have a Honda Fit.
Oh, get out of here.
For local shows, we just take my Honda Fit. We don't.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But if we're riding with the whole crew, then we rent a van.
Oh, okay.
Because we don't have a van, unfortunately. But like,
I think that's going to be the next purchase, just a van. You know,
we just have to win the lottery and then we can afford it. Or if someone finds a deal on one.
If anybody knows of a good van for sale for a reasonable price?
With 10,000 miles and for like $15,000 if you find one. That would be a good price.
That's not too bad. I don't think it exists much around. Not in California.
Not in California, right?
Yeah,
maybe an electric bike for $15,000.
Yeah, totally. There you go.
We'll see. Yeah. So, like I said, the new album is called Vámonos, April 15th. It's going to be all the streaming places, right? I guess. The usual.
It's going to be on every Apple streaming platform. There'll be a new video for it 2 weeks after, April 1st.
You got a new video?
Yeah. Yeah, we wrote a song. Christina wrote a song about our dog, Honey. It's called Little Boogie.
Oh.
And we're going to start working on a video probably next week. So, we try to do another song single release for the video just to keep everybody excited about what's happening.
Cool. Go to thehellflowers.com. That's where you can find this band. And from there, you can link to the social media, you know, Instagram.
And merch.
And merch. Yes.
Christina created a merch.
Yeah, we have Bandcamp now, we're going to be adding the new album, and it'll be available on the 15th. If you want to buy the vinyl online.
That's cool.
So Bandcamp, just search The Hellflowers.
The Hellflowers. She does a great job opening boxes, Christina. She will use a great cutter, remove the merchandise, and send it to you. So thehellflowers.com. I want you to support these artists, you know.
We appreciate it.
Listen to The Hellflowers. Forget about Taylor Swift. She has enough. She has enough, you know.
She does great stuff.
She does great stuff.
I mean, that's a similar vibe, you know.
No, I like. I like. Well, if I tell you the truth, there are a couple of records that she put out that I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Especially for
I can't see anything bad about it.
You gotta respect my work ethic, you know.
Yeah. I enjoy Folklore.
The fact that it supports all these fantastic people that work for her, and that to me is incredible to hear. So, you know, maybe the music industry won't be so bad after we get more people like her around. So.
I like her hairstyle. I like her politics, I guess. I'm cool with that.
What else are you listening to these days?
A lot of heavy metal, death metal.
Nice.
Because I interview a lot of death metal bands. So I listen to that. Death metal from Europe. And some ambient music, some dark wave that I listen a lot because I interview a lot of bands from France.
We love France. We played over there as an acoustic duo and it was awesome.
Yeah. So I listen to everything. Classical music, jazz, punk, everything I like. I like everything. Even country music. I enjoy some of it. All depends. Yeah. It all depends. But there are some country musicians that I love a lot. Especially, I'm going to name one that I was really crazy about. That was Roseanne Cash.
Oh. Yeah.
She's still around, so she does great. I like her. And but punk is my thing. You know, I guess it's during the 80s, I was a young guy, and that's what I was listening to, the college radio stations and moving around. And it's fun. It's the teenager. When you're a teenager, that's why you have in your hard drive. It stays there forever when you're a teenager. Mm-hmm. It never goes away. It's always there in the back of everything you do. So, you know, punk music, I listen to new bands, old bands, everything. I like it. It brings me back to those times, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
Yeah, brings back those memories.
Yeah. There is something I remember going to CBGB's in a matinee show, and everybody's waiting on in the street. You know, CBS was a small club, really. And all the young guys, you know, in the curb, sitting on the sidewalk and waiting, and you know, with the haircuts and the spiky hair and all the bracelets and shit and the pants and all that. And I remember I was dressed as a tennis player. I just said, fuck it. I just going be different this time. And I have my white pants like a fucking Wimbledon player, you know, all in white with a white hat and my tennis racket. And I just went in front and they went, what the fuck is this guy going? You know, just to look different, you know, because I always look like them, you know. So I said, this time I'm going to look different. So everybody was looking at me.
Punk rock thing you could do.
Yeah, like, why should I dress like a punk rocker? I love it, but let's be a tennis player just to look different, you know?
And always, hockey tennis next
time. Yeah, you know, you gotta be different sometimes.
For sure, that's amazing.
Yeah, so I really thank these guys. I enjoy the Hellflowers. They're a great band, you know? I enjoy it. It gives me... I could cut my grass in 15 minutes when I listen to these guys, you know?
Awesome.
If you listen to some other music, it may take me 2 hours because I fall asleep. You know what I mean? It keeps me alive.
And he's mowing as well. So we'll let you listen to the new record and mow the lawn.
So I love their music. If you ever come to New York, let me carry your guitar and your bass.
For sure. You know, yeah, we're talking a little bit about it right now. We were actually supposed to go pre-pandemic. We were going to do a show in New York, and pandemic hit. And then I was going out with Scott Sari from the Wild Hearts. And, you know, we're going to do a run with him. And the Carvels out of New York. And pandemic hit, and I got a phone call saying, you know, there's this thing going around that's shutting everything down, so we might want to delay this New York run. Yeah. So, but maybe this year, maybe in the fall, I think that's you know, we can afford it and things are better. Like, right. I know England's going to be pricey and it's going to be a big run for us, but I think it would be cool. Any suggestions on places we could play in New York?
There's a lot of clubs. I know more about New Jersey. I live in New Jersey, like 20 minutes from Manhattan. Yeah, there are clubs. I don't know.
Yeah, Stone Pony would be fun to play.
South Jersey. Yeah. A lot of bands play over there. It's a bunch of bands. Yeah. We'll keep in touch.
Sure. Yeah. Let us know.
If you bring your dogs, I'll take care of them. You know, because
that would be great.
I got two dogs, so might as well have more. What the hell?
Yeah.
I got two. So if you got one or two more, it's all right.
Yeah. We love our dogs. So that's the hardest part about going away is being away from them. So,
Of course. They're lovely. I love dogs. Believe me, listen to the Hellflowers. Listen to the older albums. The first EP, Common, Let's Dance. The second one, Vacation. The first LP is called Por Vida. And the last one, this one is coming, is called Vámonos. Yep. So,
listen. And there's going to be a new album coming out, another album coming out this year.
Okay, we'll keep it quiet for now.
We gotta
gotta show your stuff first. What you did?
What's that?
You gotta play the songs on the new album. Right? You gotta.
Yeah, we have been playing a few of them, but we're gonna bring a couple more in for the record release. And
That's cool. So
there's even a country-ish one on there. So
oh, there is. Okay.
Yeah, at the end, we got an alt country one.
So. Yeah.
Full on pedal steel happening.
Oh.
Yeah, I did not ever think I would ever be a band that would have pedal steel or at least record with one, but it sounds phenomenal. So.
I believe it. I'll believe it.
Dave Zerbel. So that guy's incredible. It was amazing.
I'm looking forward to listening to that song. So that's it. You know, these people.
Awesome. Yeah.
The Hellflowers. Christina Hellflower. Matt Q. Two cool guys that you can talk to them. Send him a message. If you don't like the album, don't send him. Don't say anything. Just keep it quiet. If you love it, send him a message. Tell him, I love this album. It's great.
Well, music and art is subjective. So you can't love it all and you find something that you resonate with, and that's cool, you know?
It's always cool. When I listen to Por Vida, I might listen to one song maybe 10 times straight and then another song maybe 2 times and maybe one song and, you know, the ones you like the most, you listen over and over, you know? It's easy. Now, you know, before when you went to buy a record, you were like, fuck it, I got them $10. What am I going to buy? I don't know. It's so many records. Then you buy the wrong one and then you're fucked. And you're like, I have to like this record no matter what. I paid $10. I got to listen to this over and over. There's got to be something I like on this record. I don't want to throw it in the garbage. Sometimes you listen and then it's not that bad. Yeah.
Not every album is Dark Side of the Moon.
Right.
You just pick one song, it's cool, and then you hang on to the record.
So that's how it is with every album. There are great songs. There are songs you think you're not that good, and then you listen to them and say, no, this song is really good. Maybe it's better than the other ones. So you never know. So I'm probably sure this album is going to be great. Vámonos. All right? So
we're
going to leave now. Vámonos. I'm going probably upstairs.
Yeah.
And my day, I have to get up at
4:30. We're going to feed our dogs dinner. They're getting a little antsy waiting for dinner.
Of course.
They're going to hang out around us right now.
They're probably thinking, what are they doing? I want to eat. What are they doing, these people? So I'm going to let them go and just thank them for being here today, speaking with the Hellflowers, and we'll see you next week.